Thank you, Isaac, for that, and it's so good to be here. Psalm chapter 1, would you turn with me? Psalm chapter 1. This is like throwback Sunday, all right? All you that have been here for many years, it's good to see you. It's kind of like going back in time a little bit. And the only one we're missing is Father Surrett. And he told me he couldn't be here, for all you that remember that. And so I don't think most of you would ever forget it. But Pastor Surrett, I saw him on one of these days. We were dropping Callie off, and he was there and said had to go out to Minnesota. And I was just in Minnesota. So I said, hey, I was just there. You know, we're going to cross in the air or something. I don't know. But it was exciting to hear that I think Brian's getting sent out and go be a missionary and down in Peru. And just the Lord's working. And we're so thankful for how God's been working across the country and across the land. Really, honestly, I had the wonderful part of a wonderful opportunity to be a part of the Victory Gospel Crusade in Worcester, Massachusetts. And so many of you heard about that. And let me tell you, it was just probably in the 43 years that I've been on the earth, no amens for that. But anyways, the 43 years that I've been on the earth, I don't know if I've experienced God's presence and power more than that time. It was just amazing. It really was. And all I can say is this, it's the power of the gospel that changes people's life. Don't ever forget it. It is. They've got to hear the gospel. And when people hear the gospel, there are people out there that truly want to hear the gospel and need the gospel. And no doubt in Worcester, the second largest city in Mass, drug-infested, prostitutes, everything, the whole shooting match is all there. Matter of fact, the pastor, Chris Casey, is an ex-con, got saved in prison, went off to Bible college, married a wife, and is now pastoring a church started in 1878 by a guy by the name of D.L. Moody. Ever heard of him before? Pretty amazing, isn't it? And D.L. Moody's name is in the stained glass windows of this church, Brother Brew. And it was probably one of the nicest looking auditoriums. It's all wood, all rounded ceilings, no PA system needed. Matter of fact, they had one, but it reverbed too much. You didn't need anybody. You just needed to sing. And what a wonderful place. Clarence was with us. And so we got to sing with them. And the Smiths were with us and the Lancasters were with us. Man, it's just like Emmanuel extended, all right? And so we were all up there, and boy, oh boy, it was just a wonderful thing to see God work in a mighty way. And so everybody should get an opportunity to experience that, let me tell you, because then you strive for that. You whet your appetite for it. And you know what? God wants to do it in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Okay, so don't think, well, I'm in the belt buckle. No. I can bring you to a lot of people in Kings Mountain, North Carolina that need the gospel. You just got to be willing to go. You know, those little flyers that Adam talked about in the back, we say, oh, it's just a little flyer. Okay? No. It's what can change a person's life. Okay? So it's our job as believers to be that light. I hope you'll do that. Let me just say before I get started, we have some prayer cards that are on the back table. The front is great, okay? See the front? The back, not so great. You say, why is it not so great? Because I'm balding. Why do you take a picture of someone's backside if they're balding? I don't know, okay? But just keep it this way and pray from this side, all right? Everything will be just fine. But it is good to be back, and hopefully we'll be a blessing. And I know Emmanuel's always been a blessing to us. Would you stand with me out of respect of reading God's Word, if you're physically able? Last year, we have two seniors, Callie and Bryce, both graduated the last year, and in the course of the year, we were trying to determine God's will. If you were a senior, or you remember when you were a senior, not you, Brother Brew, but everybody else, you know that there's a lot of options. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of opportunities, and so we're trying to discern God's will for Callie and Bryce, and really to start the process with the rest of the children. And I said to them this, I said, until you understand what God has done for you, you'll be hesitant at what God has for you. Did you get that? You say, I don't understand that. Well, if I came to you, Amanda, I just met Amanda here a couple days ago, and I said to you, Amanda, here's what I want to do for you, Amanda. I want to give you a check for $48,000. I all of a sudden became your best friend. Why? Because I just took care of Amanda's school bill for the rest of her school life here at Ambassador, okay? So I said, Amanda, I'm going to give you $48,000. Amanda now, though she hasn't said it in the last 2 days, and I've met her 2 days ago, okay, she says to me, Brother Jake, what can I do for you? Now, what's the difference? Here it is. Amanda now understands what I've done for her. She's not hesitant at all. She doesn't want to reject. She doesn't want to resist. She wants to do whatever I need her to do. I believe, church family, that some of the reasons why we hesitate at what God has for us is because we don't grasp here, not here. If you've gone to Emmanuel Baptist Church for any sort of time, Brother Jim, Brother Surrett, these guys preach the Word of God. You got it here. But you know what I find? If you just got it here, it doesn't change your life. It's got to get deposited to here. And when it gets here, this is when it changes your life. And you're no longer hesitant at what God has for you. And so today, through the course of preaching, we're going to look at that topic. We've got to understand what God has done for us. Psalm chapter 1, if you've ever read the book of Psalms, this is a great book to find out what God has done for us, all right? It's a great book. And look what the Bible says in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This morning I'd like to preach a message that I've entitled, How to Be Blessed by God. How to be blessed by God. Now, let's just be honest. None of us deserve it. No one can look to God and say, you know what, God, you owe me one. And God didn't have to tell us how to be blessed by him. He didn't have to say, well, Jake DeAndre, you've been in evangelism now for 10 years, so you know what, I'm going to give you the secret. Really? None of us deserve this, but this is understanding what God has done for us. Before we get started, can we ask God to give us a hand? Father, we thank you so much for this place, and Lord, the faithfulness of all these that have been here, and Lord, to held up the truth. Lord, in a time where truth seems to forsake us, Lord, there have been those that have decided, you know what, I'm going to stick by the book. Father, thank you for that. And Lord, this morning, can we just get a little insight of what you've done for us? Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt when we get to Psalm chapter 1, we've got to identify the word blessed. It's the very first word of the chapter. And so if you were to just simply look up the word blessed, you might find this word, happy. And no doubt, I think that's something that we would all enjoy in life. It doesn't mean that everything in our life is happy. But I do believe that we're here this morning, and Brother Steve, we want to be blessed by God. I don't think anyone would say, well, you know what? I just don't think I want to be blessed by God. What? Hello, come to reality, okay? We all want to be blessed by God. And God is such an awesome God that he gives us this recipe how to be blessed, how to be happy. If you looked it up, some scholars say it this way. It is a physical, emotional, spiritual rest or contentment. Now, when I was a young person, I really didn't care about that. Why? Because I lived for the moment, man. You think I'm high energy now. You should have seen me 22 years ago, okay? I mean, I just lived for the moment, and whatever that moment was, and good or bad, that's just how it happened, all right? But, as I'm getting more mature, notice the word. You know, there's something I desire. I like rest. I like contentment. I like emotional and spiritual and physical, and I throw in the physical, the financial, all right? I like that. I don't like worrying about stuff, though it seems to avail itself to me a little bit more than when I was younger. If you were asked a Hebrew, a Jewish man, hey, what does the word blessed mean? It means this to them. They would say a divine experience. I don't care what definition you want to put with the word blessed. I know this, that I desire it. And I think you do too. But what's amazing about the scripture is that the psalmist tells us how not to be blessed. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look at Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. He tells us three ways on how we're not going to be blessed. Look what it says. It says, blessed is the man that walketh, what's the next word, class? It's very important. This is a small word, but a very important word. Why? Because if you want to be blessed, you can't do these things. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look what he says. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you want to be blessed, here's what you have to stop doing. You got to stop listening to the world. You got to stop listening to the world. Now, the problem is with that, is we don't do it on purpose, but we're bombarded by it. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let's add up the hours we go to church, okay? Let's add them up. All right, we got Sunday school, that's one. Let's revise that. We've got the 8:15 hour, that's one. We've got Sunday school, that's two. We got the 11 o'clock service, that's three. Then we have Wednesday night, that's four, okay? Now, I know many of you students didn't come to Ambassador for math. Got it, okay? But there's 168 hours in a week, and if you subtract four, high-powered math here, you've got 164 hours left. Now, some of you already blew your circuit board. I understand, all right? But you know what that tells me? I've got 164 hours that I am bombarded by the world. 164 hours that I am bombarded by the internet, the news, TV, movies, friends, coworkers, living in the world. So here's what happens. It just happens naturally. You see, everybody here has to deal with life. A wise man said there's three stages of life. You're about to enter the storm, you're in the storm, or you're just leaving the storm. Pretty smart guy in my book, okay? So all of us are dealing with life. But God tells us that if we're ever going to be blessed by God, here's what we have to stop listening to the world. Why? Because the Word of God, and God knows that what we listen to, we will eventually do. Matter of fact, look what he says, verse number one again. It says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So if we're ever going to be blessed of God, we got to stop listening to the world. And then number two, we got to stop following the world, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Hey, he's saying you're following what you've been listening to, and that's how life works. That's why we say across the country at camp all summer long, hey, guys, guard your eyes. Hey, guys, don't get on the internet and look at porn. Hey, guys, don't look, go there. Why? Because we know this is how life is. What you think about, you end up doing. So if you're listening to the world for that 164 out of 168 hours, what do you think you're going to do when it comes to parenting? What do you think you're going to do when it comes to financial struggles? What do you think it's going to do when your relationship with your spouse isn't right? What do you think you're going to do when you're dealing with difficulties in the home and at work? What do you think you're going to do? You're going to do exactly what you've been listening to. And what God says, according to Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1, is blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Look at number 3. The third thing we're not supposed to do is nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, the third thing that God tells us, according to Psalm 1, is that we need to stop listening to the world, stop following the world, but get number three, it's very important, stop mocking sin like the world. You say, what are you talking about? You know, it's amazing. Pastor Jim, when you start living your life according to this book, how that all of a sudden, you're the fool. Like, seriously? You're going to discipline your children? Seriously. I'm going to discipline my children. Doesn't mean I'm a dictator. It doesn't mean you're abusive. By the way, that's wrong too. But listen, it's in the book. It's not just some, oh, well, I don't agree with that verse, so I'm just going to scratch it out. Because, you know what, that doesn't settle with me real well. What? You mean you can pick and choose what you believe out of the book? Really? No. This isn't the buffet, okay? This is the Bible. And what's important is that many times we live our lives according to this book, and then that we function in everyday living by the book. But what's amazing is that many Christians mock the Bible just like the world. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But just like found in Hebrew poetry, often there's a contrast. Because in verse 1, he tells us how not to be blessed. But in verse number 2, he tells us how to be blessed. Look at the contrast in verse number 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. All right, so the writer of Psalms here gives us this contrast. It's what not to do in verse number 1. And what to do in verse number 2. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So let's just summarize this for today's Christian living, okay? The law of the Lord is found right here. Okay, we'll just call it the Bible, all right? But the problem is, we don't have a problem with figuring that out. We go to Emmanuel Baptist Church. Some of us have graduated from Bible college. I got it. But the problem is the word delight. That's our problem. Now, I think of delight, it helps me to think of delight in a dating term, okay? Caleb, you just gonna get picked on today, okay? That's just how it goes, all right? Now, Caleb, I think of the word delight as in a dating term, okay? You say, what are you talking about? Well, back in the day, all right? Now, me and my wife just celebrated 21 years of marriage, all right? Now, we dated for 4, so we've really been together for about 25 years, a quarter of a century. I know you're saying, you don't look that old. I thank you. Stop it, okay? But we dated back in the day when we had pagers. How many of you had a pager or a beeper back in the day? Oh, yeah, all the old people, all right? Good. Now watch. For you that don't know what that is, you can Google it, and it's an amazing thing, all right? It was this little plastic box that went on your belt, okay? It went on your belt, right, Brother Christensen? I know you had one. Oh, several of them, okay, all right. And so he thought he was Batman or something, you know, put it on his bat belt. All right, but you had this little pager, and what it did, young people, is this. It would receive a phone number that you were supposed to call. And so you would pick it up, and you would dial the pager number, and then you would put your number in it, okay? And so, but me and my wife had a secret code. You say, what? Oh, yeah. We had a secret code. Matter of fact, if I would have continued developing this thought, John, you're looking at a millionaire. You say, what are you talking about? Well, our secret code was this. Caleb, 888-888-8888. Pretty intelligent, huh? You only had to get one number right, man. And that secret code, when you got 888-888-8888, was... I love you. Oh, man, I tell you what. Think about it. Bring it up to today. Those numbers turn to letters, and what do we have? Texting millionaire right here, all right? But we would page one another. I would go to my truck and bring out my bag phone for all you old timers, all right? And you would dial up this number, and I would put my 888-888-8888. And, oh man, I tell you what, it would send that page to my girlfriend at the time, and all of a sudden, I would feel a little vibration on my hip. Look down. Oh, yes, she loves me too, you know? 888-888-8888. Now, this is the amazing part. We did this, and we weren't even together. It was crazy, you know? I mean, we would do it in the morning. We would do it in the afternoon. We would do it in all the time during the day. I would be thinking about her. Man, I would think about, okay, what's the next date going to be? Where am I going to bring her? Hey, what are we going to do? What's going to go on in this time or that time? And man, she was my focus. That's what the word delight means. You get up in the morning, guess what? She's your focus. You go to work, she's your focus. See, here's the problem. This has become a textbook. Well, gotta go to church today. Hey, where's my Bible? You left it on the top shelf of the book cabinet. Thanks, honey. Okay, we're going to Emmanuel Baptist Church. You gotta bring your Bible. You'll look very unspiritual if you don't. Amen, preacher. Yeah, preacher, that's it. Let her fly, tater chip. That's right. Look, well, we got it here. But delight? Seriously? I mean, this is your focus? This is what you're supposed to think about? This is supposed to be your focus of your life? Well, I just got too many things. You don't understand. I've got to read a gazillion pages for college, and I've got to work 18 hours a day, and I've got to take care of these screaming kids, wait a minute. God's telling us how to be blessed. You said you wanted to be blessed by God. Isn't it amazing that when this is our focus, we stop listening to the world, we stop following the world, we stop mocking sin like the world? But when this isn't our focus, guess what happens? We do exactly that. And what the Bible tells us is that our first thing that we need to do in order to be blessed by God is, number one, hey, we got to delight in the law of the Lord. This has got to be priority. You see, whether I was with my girlfriend or I wasn't with my girlfriend, Caleb, she was on my mind. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. She was my focus. I had to do work. Yes, I had to go to work. And yes, I had to make a living. And I had responsibilities running a crew of doing other things. But Brother Christensen, though I had all those other things going, let me tell you, that girl over there, she was what I was thinking about. But notice what else. According to verse number 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Now, we don't like using this word meditate because we think of some guy in yoga pants in a weird position, okay? I won't put my yoga pants on. It doesn't look good. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is the fact that, Brother Parker, when we make this our focus, and we take that thought, because obviously we can't sit and read our Bible 24/7. Okay, most of us have responsibilities. For the Parkers, they got like 9,000 children. Okay, he's got to work. Okay, and so he doesn't have the ability to sit and read his Bible for 24/7. But what it does mean is this: that nugget of truth that God gave you that morning, you're gonna meditate upon. You're going to dwell upon. It's going to be a thought that is going to reoccur in your mind. And Brother Parker, here's my problem with that. I am a very much so, a one-track mind guy. Some lady said every Y chromosome is one-track minded. Okay, I was like, all right. So when it's time to preach, woo, full blast, I'm on, let's preach. When it's time to work, guess what? Woo, full blast, let's go. When it's time to teach, hey, full blast, woo, let's go. But here's the problem with that. Sometimes I leave behind the truth. You know why? Because I have a hard time doing two things at once. Brother Billy, when it's time to work, man, I'm all on board, man. Put the tool belt on and let's start slinging. It's time to go. We got to do this. But the problem is being one-track minded, often I leave behind the nugget of truth that God has given to me that morning to meditate so that I can get the victory. And so I end up robbing myself. You know why? Because I've got all these tests and I got all these quizzes. And yes, we do have responsibilities. Fellas, you have responsibilities at work. And ladies, you have responsibilities at work. And you've got responsibilities at the home. And fellas, you've got responsibilities at home. And we've all got different avenues in which we have to take care of. But God says, if you want to be blessed by Him, then you're going to have to meditate on that nugget of truth day and night. That's going to have to be a reminder. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, you know what? Sometimes I've got to put a 3x5 card somewhere where I'm going to be constantly. And you know what I have to do? I have to see it. It has to go in front of me. Sometimes I'll be driving and I lay it out there because you know why? While I'm driving, I can constantly dwelling upon it. I can be chewing on it. I can savor it because it's what I need. It's what's going to bring me satisfaction. And we get so caught up with the temporary working for today and not working for eternity that many times we rob ourselves of the blessings and we become content with the blessings of the wilderness rather than the blessings of the promised land. And it's so sad that God says, hey, I'm giving it to you, Andrew. I'm showing you how this is done. You deserve it. It's not like God has to write a note to us and say, well, now, Jake, this is what I'm going to do for you. No, He didn't have to do that, but He did. Why? Because God wants to bless us. That's what kind of God we serve. Matter of fact, you know what He does? In Psalm 1, He gives us a perfect picture of a man that is blessed. Look at verse 3. He says in verse 3, and he, the blessed man of God, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall, what's that word, class? Hey, we all like that. You know what's amazing? This is perfectly natural. You say, what are you talking about? Well, in order for a tree to grow, there's a few things we need. A tree. Okay, that's part of it, okay? We need the obvious, all right? We need soil, okay? I think we got a surplus of it, okay? We need the sun. Guess what? Except for August 21st around 2 o'clock, the sun's always out, okay? We need water. And when we have a tree, soil, sun, and water, we put it all together, and you know what happens? It grows. No one comes out of the building and says, whoa, you won't believe this one. Come outside. The tree is growing. No one says that. Why? Because we expect it to grow. But spiritually speaking, we look at people that are blessed of God and we're like, man, how does it happen to them? That's so amazing that whatsoever they do prospers. Oh, God, you must like them better than me. No. Matter of fact, He's given us the recipe. He says, if you'll delight, be your focus, and you'll meditate, you will be like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water. You see, listen. God says, I'm the planter. I know exactly where to place you so that your leaf won't wither. And whatever you do will prosper. Now here's what's awesome. Look at verse number 4. It says, the ungodly are not so. Wait a minute. Well, preacher, I've seen a lot of people that aren't living for God get this and this and this and this. And can I stop you for a second? You've got a misconception of the blessings of God. Your conception of blessings of God is materialism. That is not always a blessing from God. Many times, if you read your Bible, it's the rich that are in a snare. That's not a blessing from God. By the way, I'll take emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual rest and contentment over anything that there is. Why? Because it's from God. And God says, you know what? The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind driveth away. But you know what it comes down to? Here's what it comes down to. I say this all across America. Choice. I can't force you. Pastor Jim can't force you. Brother Brew can't force you. Isaac can't force you. He could probably do better than I could, but he can't force you. But watch. It's a choice. It's whether you want to be or you don't want to. If you don't want to be and you're happy and content with it, keep going. But if you're thinking, you know what? That's not my life. But I like it to be. I want to be blessed by God. And guess what? He gives us the recipe. We've just got to follow it. Would you bow with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Church family, this morning, we're just trying to understand what God has done for us. God wants to bless you. That's the crazy part. You say, I don't deserve it. Me neither. But God wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. But it comes down to making that choice of, hey, is it going to be my focus? Is the word of the Lord going to be the delight? As the psalmist said in Psalm 19, it's as gold, much fine gold, sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb. Is that what the word of God is to you? Or is it just a textbook that you throw up on the shelf just like all the rest of them, and then it comes back and you say, okay, I've got to get my Bible. I'm going to church. Are you meditating? You say, Brother Jake, I want to be blessed by God. Well, He's told us what not to do and what to do. We've got to stop listening to the world. Stop following the world. Stop mocking sin like the world does. And maybe you're here and you say, Brother Jake, would you pray with me that way? I want to be blessed by God just like Psalm chapter 1. Hey, if that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking, but God's speaking to your heart right now. You say, that's me. Brother Jake, would you pray with me in that way? Just quietly slip your hand up in the air long enough for me to see it. Good. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your willingness to respond to the working of the Holy Spirit. Just a moment, I'm going to pray after we pray. We'll stand. Our heads will be bowed. The piano will begin. We're just going to play one or two verses. But God's dealing with your heart. Would you come? Would you do business with God this morning? Father, we thank you that you would even care enough for us to let us know how to be blessed by you. Father, I pray that my friends here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, Lord, that we would be a church that people would look and say, wow, there's a church family that is blessed of God because they've taken the recipe to heart. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, the piano's already playing. God spoke to your heart. You need to do business. Hey, would you come quickly? Would you come?